Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's Pro Wrestling Unscripted presents the first Wink episode in the series. And we got a special one for you today. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be running your audio, but hosting officially, thankfully. It's the five-star man, Asa Gray. Also, Dalton's here. And Zach Price in the corner.
Hey.
Asa, we got a special guest tonight. Why don't you tell everybody who it is?
Yes, we have CCW alum Cody Wilson.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do this since I've heard about it. So.
Oh. That makes us feel nice.
Yeah, it always makes us feel special when someone comes to us and says, hey, let's do the show. And I'm like, cool, I was ready to beg.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, no, what, we like you. What do you mean you're fans of us? That's not how this works.
Yeah,
no.
We're nobodies. What are you talking about? No, unfortunately, you got a bum leg, though.
Yeah, I broke my ankle on the 3rd of this month doing a move.
Do you recall the move?
Yeah. Okay. So it's like the neck breaker, like the fireman's carry neck breaker onto the knee.
Yeah.
Basically, when he landed, ankle.
Oh, so you were doing it to him?
Yeah.
And his head hit you, and your leg went squish.
Yeah. Like his back like hit my knee.
Oh.
And then my ankle kind of twisted, and then just went kaput.
Who was it? So we know who to blame.
It's a guy named Kyle King.
Okay, so if you're listening, buddy, you got a receipt coming.
Precious cargo.
Yeah.
You monster. So was it in a match, or were you like, was it a...
Yeah, it was in a match.
So how does that, like, how do you handle that? Like, whenever, like, did you know it was broken immediately, or...
Not really. The move was more or less a setup for another one, and so after I hit... So basically... I was doing the neck breaker, and I was going to get up, hit the ropes, and hit like a running elbow to the back of the head. Mm-hmm. And after I hit the elbow, I basically just crawled over to the apron and told the ref, like, hey, I can't put any weight on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when I got up to hit the ropes, it did like this really like hard, loud, like pop.
Mm.
And it just felt like rubber bands like snapping
Ooh.
Inside like my leg.
You did like we would have done, and you immediately screamed and cried, right?
Because
that's what I would have
done.
I
screamed a little bit.
It wasn't Kevin Nash levels, like when he tore his quad on.
It was more of like Daniel Bryan getting his arm worked over to the screen.
Okay.
Just like,
which manlier?
This hurts.
And we just talked to Austin Lane about, I think our first interview with Austin a couple of months ago. We need to get him back on at some point. But he was talking about injuries and, the injuries he's had. This isn't your first injury, is it?
Yeah, actually this is.
This is your first one?
Yeah, this is my first, like long-term injury.
How long are you going to be out?
Probably 4 more weeks at the most.
Oh, so that's not too bad.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah, it's really surprising, too, because, like, 4 bones in my ankle are, like, broken. Like,
Ooh.
Like it's broken, like, 4 different places. But the doctor told me 6 to 8 weeks, and it broke, like, 3 weeks ago. So.
Oh, wow. So is that until you can actually start, like, training on it again? Or, like, you can just go back to...
To where it will be completely back to 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So you're going to come back early, aren't you?
I'm hoping, hoping.
No one ever stays down as long as they should.
To be back in time for the July show. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the anniversary show.
Yep.
That's the important one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your first, sorry, so I don't mean to.
No, no, yeah.
But I'm trying to remember, what was your first CCW show? You weren't at the first one, were you?
No.
It was Chaffee, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, my first one was Chaffee because I worked a triple threat with Jake Durden and Hollis.
Yes. Yep. I remember that. Yeah. That's when you had the gold boots.
Yep.
I still feel so for those who don't know, for the first couple times we've seen Cody, he was wearing these bright gold wrestling boots.
Yeah.
And so we would yell, we would chant gold boots at you because we're funny.
We think we are.
Yeah, we think we're funny. And so, like, one of the next shows you came out, you didn't have them. And, like, we were, like, I know Dalton and I, especially, were just like, oh, that's why you lost. You didn't have your gold boots. And then, like, after the show, we're like, oh, what, like, genuinely curious. Like, those look so cool. What happened? You're like, yeah, they got stolen out of my car.
Yeah.
He felt so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh. I was really upset, too, because that was basically my whole gimmick here. But, yeah, one of them got stolen out of my car.
Yeah, because you had one the other show. Yeah. Like the last show you did, you had one of them on.
Yeah. And then just like a black kick pad on the other one. Yeah. It was like around Christmas time, and I was hanging out with a friend, and I left my car parked in a parking lot, like kind of by a back alley. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of Christmas presents in it. Aww. And had my wrestling bag in it. Luckily, the only thing that was in my bag was one kick pad for some reason. Other kick pad was like on the floorboard. Mm-hmm. And like some wrist tape. So he stole my wrestling bag and a bunch of clothes out of my car, and then all the Christmas presents.
Oh, that sucks.
That is just terrible.
Yeah.
Did they ever catch him?
No.
Oh.
Now, where are you, like, where do you live at? Cause I know you, like, do you ride down with, like, Hollis and all that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are you from the Kansas City area then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And who's in that group? The group that comes from Kansas City altogether. So we know you and Hollis.
It's me, Hollis, Phoenix, Aaron Clay, who was Phoenix's partner at the last show.
Yeah.
And then, El Campeon, who was Sarah Summers,
Cesar.
Right? Yeah, Cesar. Yeah.
Cesar.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Sarah Summers is a boy toy.
Yeah.
God. We loved putting that gimmick together. That was great. When we heard the whole, you know, he was supposed to be her boy toy thing, mm-hmm. we just like took the reins and he had no say in that. Like basically, okay, so basically once we found that out, me and Hollis were like, you gotta get like a dog collar, you know, like, and like with a leash and everything. And we actually bought a collar with a leash for Sarah to use. She didn't do it.
Oh,
but, we went to a Dick's on the way here and he bought just like a black Speedo and like a really, like, a really big jock strap to put under the Speedo.
To enhance the talent?
Yes. Yeah. It was great.
I hope he continues that gimmick when he comes back.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean,
because between that and then just Sarah's seemingly just disgust with everything he did in the ring was so much fun to watch.
I think the Kansas City crew is probably my favorite crew that comes down to CCW because we know all of you guys pretty well and you're all just great wrestlers and great people and I'm so glad you guys come down every time.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, this is my favorite place to wrestle. So.
We hear that.
How many places are there out in like where else do you go? Like, does Kansas City have places like Kansas itself?
Yeah, there are like two companies in Kansas City, more or less. And one, of course, is NWL Kansas mm-hmm. City. And then the other one is this place called Kansas City Extreme Wrestling, which is like the promotion, the school I went to. It's like their promotion, mm-hmm. but I got fired. So.
No.
What the hell did you get fired for?
The owner and also, okay. So the guy who like is like the head trainer of the school is like the booker for the company. And, so like we had like this group chat, it was basically all the Kansas City guys who come here.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of other people. And, we originally had it because it was like a group chat just to talk about like shows that like we'd go to like together, like to get like, you know, like what time we're meeting and stuff like that down. Right. And then it sort of morphed into like a place for us to like vent and then also just like talk to each other, like right. about wrestling and like about just like things going on in our life. And there was a lot of, I guess negative things said about like, you know, like this could be better type thing.
So constructive criticism.
Some constructive, some, some not. But yeah, basically got fired, over some, Facebook chats.
That's how I got fired from GameStop.
It wasn't in a private message.
Yeah.
No, it was super weird because, like, it was originally just like a real small group and then we kept adding guys in when we take them to shows. And then, basically one of them got like so upset by what we said that he like screenshotted like all the bad stuff we said and then like sent it to the boss.
We're gonna put that guy on blast too.
No. That's not what this is for.
I was gonna say, you working with Kansas City Extreme Wrestling. Blaster works up there too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's Genesis.
That's Genesis, yeah.
But he doesn't come down with you guys. He goes up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Where else are you like traveling to?
Because
I know the like NWL, KC, that's more of like the exclusivity. Like you have to pretty much solely work for them.
Yeah. Let's see. This month I've been to New Breed Wrestling. I guess that was actually last month, in Eldon, Missouri. Then High Risk Wrestling, which is actually where I broke my ankle. Then a couple of promotions in like Illinois, Nebraska.
Okay. So you guys travel. Is it the same kind of group of guys that go to all of those or?
For Illinois, yes. For Nebraska, it's usually just like me and Phoenix or like me and one other person.
Okay. How long have you been doing this? Because we were all very surprised to find out how old you were.
Oh yeah, like, I wasn't happy.
We were all just like, oh no, he's like roughly our age. Mm-mm. And yeah, then, but you're 20?
No, 19.
You're still okay.
Yeah.
Night, get out. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, okay. I'm Shane done. Is about to storm out.
You're younger than my girlfriend.
I started training when I was 17, mm-hmm. and then made my debut like the 2nd. Of January last year, so I've been doing this for just like a year and a half, basically.
Okay, that is also very surprising to find out.
Because you're so good and crisp in the ring, mm-hmm. and you know, to be so early in your career.
Yeah. I mean, where we all trained, you know, like it is open like 7 days a week, so like we were able to get like a lot of ring time.
So. So when you say like you can get a lot of ring time, like what are the steps that, cause I know a bunch, like all the schools are different, but mm-hmm. like the way this one works is it, you know, you have to take some basic classes first and then eventually you get more freedom to kind of train more or?
No, basically, the way this school worked was like if there was any like brand new, like fresh students, mm-hmm. like everyone would just like re-go over the basics, for like, until he was ready to do, like, go into other stuff. So, like, for, like, a couple days, you'd just be doing, like lockups and, like, just, like, basically just, like, back bumps, running the ropes, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way they used to do it is they would have, like, a list of, like, stuff, like, that you should have done and, like, know how to do by, like, week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4. And then basically once you get past like week 4, then you can start like getting more into like, you know, doing like what you want to do type stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to hearing stuff, sorry, about like the performance center and stuff like that. Like there's different, and not everybody's going to be like that. And like even like the people we've talked to about Stride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like they have more of a like a totally different structured, teaching style.
Yeah. How so?
I don't know if they run like 7 days a week.
I think the one that we like, so one of the guys that's wrestling here tonight, Dexter, he's from Stride, mm-hmm. and I think they run it's Tuesdays for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they have a once a week. I think I could be wrong, but that's what from my understanding of it. And I don't know exactly how they do their classes. I've talked to a few of them about mm-hmm. how they do it, but I've never gotten really in depth mm-hmm. knowledge of how they work. Their school, but I know theirs is just a once a week, but I see the 7 days a week being very beneficial because if you're off, you can go train.
Yeah. And it's open like 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a lot of hours to be wrestling.
What advice would you give somebody that is maybe wanting to step into your shoes and start training to be a wrestler? Is it worth it?
I mean, yeah, I think it's worth it. Some other people may not. I've been told numerous times since I broke my ankle, by a lot of different people, like, hey, why don't you, like, give up that dream? And it was like, it's not that bad. You know, it's just some broken bones. Like, it'll heal.
Say that. I've never had a broken bone, for the record.
I'm bad at giving advice. Because I'm also bad at taking advice. So I don't know what advice I would give other than go to a place that'll teach you how to do stuff the right way. Mm-hmm. That's about...
Yeah, that's one of the things that, like, because we, like, Dahl and I always listen to, like, Jericho and Austin's podcast, like, and anytime that gets brought up, it's always just find someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can give someone $50 and he'll be like, all right, we'll just go fall down on the ground, but you're not going to really learn anything that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And no backyard wrestling. Did you do backyard wrestling?
Very, very briefly, yes.
I did. I did backyard wrestling. I thought I was a wrestler because yeah. I knew how to DDT somebody onto the ground, which mm-hmm. is just stupid.
I could do a sidewalk slam on a trampoline. That was about the...
I did a yeah. swanton off the ladder onto a car. That was stupid.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've bumped in, like, a parking garage before. I mean, this was after, like, I had, like...
Is this professional?
Been trained and yeah. stuff. Like, this wasn't,
at least
like...
At you knew
for,
how to properly bump. Yeah, then. No, wasn't like... Just a, I'm going to fall down on the
yeah,
concrete.
Yeah, no, I was
bit.
Just walking around the plaza in Kansas City with some friends. And I have this friend, Nick, who's a huge wrestling fan. And he's just like, hey, you should bump on the parking lot. Like, just bump on the ground. And I was like, okay, cool.
Like concrete?
Yeah.
How'd that go? Just so you don't remember it.
It honestly wasn't that bad. See, I've let him, because, like, we're both super into, like, hardcore music, and we both used to be, like, in bands. And we were at a show at this little tiny venue in Kansas City called the Sandbox, and it's barely bigger than this room.
Wow.
Maybe. Because
this room is tiny.
We are.
Maybe.
Terrible,
maybe.
There's maybe like room for six other people in here.
This,
and that would be.
This.
Or one Mathis.
Like this, and then like another, like half of this. So like this room and a half is probably about the size of the venue.
And a band was performing there?
Yeah. So that.
With the world's tiniest instrument?
No, no, we. I mean. You get like 100 people packed in there. They just be shoulder to shoulder.
I'm just assuming the fire marshal doesn't even know this place exists.
It's super.
Okay, so yeah, basically like this record store. It's just like, well, it's closed now. But well,
no, no,
it's, no it, it's only closed because the record store that owned it just relocated, mm-hmm. and I don't know what they're doing with it now, but. I've let him, like, in the pit before, like, I've let him, like, clothesline me, and I, like, bumped on, like, like, it's basically, like, concrete with just, like, a tiny thin layer of, like, carpet on top of it.
What kind of music are you, you say you're into hardcore music, what are you into? Which bands?
Right now, been digging a lot of Knocked Loose, Code Orange, Backtrack. I like a lot of, like the beatdown bands, like the super heavy, like slow breakdowns that just make you want to fight people.
Now, Dalton, you were talking about Lynyrd Skynyrd earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, now that I have you here, settle something for me, because especially, I don't remember which one was smack talking it. 12 Ounce Mouse. How much do you love 12 Ounce Mouse?
I love 12 Ounce Mouse.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you. And
that was no, I because I don't know that at all.
And ironically,
there's some Hunter the, for sure that's listening. Can't stand 12. We they couldn't watch. I tried to show him, and Hunter remembers it from when he was younger.
Yeah,
we all watched 12 Ounce Mouse, and I think I sent the link to you guys, but you never watched it probably because you went, "What the hell is it?" It's the worst drawn thing you'll ever see. Like I think they said it was literally drawn on like the back of a napkin, and they animated it that way. But I love 12 Ounce Mouse. I thought I was high. When I saw it, I thought it didn't exist, and I don't do drugs, so that surprised me.
Yeah.
But you know 12 Ounce Mouse.
Yeah, and ironically, the first time I saw 12 Ounce Mouse was actually when me and Hollis were staying, in Cape for, Super Show Weekend, and, I was playing on Adult Swim at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and, is this episode where like, Rectangular Businessman and like Shark were just like,
yeah, see, the Shark is the boss,
yeah,
and Osmo he gets a job to take the Rectangular Man to Cheese Industries, but instead he takes him to a porn set. It's a long story.
I'm just assuming you guys both had the same bad acid trip, because none of this sounds like coherent words to me.
I'll make you watch it one of these days. You have to see it.
Yeah, it's a great show, honestly.
It like, sort of is. It's like
it's.
I can hear Hunter just like, no,
it's
do not.
Oddly,
itchy right now.
It's oddly philosophical.
It is. It's one of those shows. It's so weird. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's walking that line like Tim and Eric, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mm-hmm. It's like so dumb.
Squidbillies.
They kind of just gave them like, okay, well, here's your platform to do
whatever you
what
want.
You want.
And it makes no sense. But at the same time, you kind of go, I saw someone post it. They said, my friend talked about how terrible it was. And then he sat through the entire 4 hour like series.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I just wanted to, I just wanted to talk about 12 Ounce Mouse on a show for once. So thank you, Cody. I appreciate that.
Great show.
Well, and like talking about just being able to kind of like, all right, well, here's what you get to do. Like, because talking to Jason, like a lot of the times when he brings, especially like newer guys in, he just kind of like, okay, I know you can wrestle, so let's see what you can do for yourself, like character wise. Like, is that something that you like, or do you like having someone be able to give you some kind of direction with? Because it feels like we were really just starting to get an idea of who like the Cody Wilson was.
I'm going to be real honest with you and let you know right now. I'm not very, like when it comes to wrestling, except for like a, like few exceptions, could not care less about like the characters and like the personalities.
Really?
You just like the
actual like matches themselves.
Yeah. And like the only like wrestlers who like their personality is like what made me like them, were like Stone Cold and like the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Shinsuke, but Shinsuke is also, like, top five best wrestlers on the planet, also. So, you know.
So do you have an ideal character that you would like to portray? Maybe something closer to your personality? Because to me, you got this kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but you got this kind of, anti-establishment, not punk, but anti-establishment kind of attitude. Is that something you'd like to portray in your character?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I could see that very easily. You know, maybe not in Missouri, because you would be the bad guy, is all I can say.
I mean, that's fine. I have no problem being the bad guy. I prefer being the bad guy, honestly. I'm not a big fan of Working Baby.
So you don't like it when people cheer you?
Shan.
Turns to look at Shan. No.
Okay, so for the record, so I'm the only one that cheers Cody when he was a bad guy. And we try to play along with the stories because, you know, obviously, you know, working with CCW, we want to promote what their narrative.
Yeah.
And even before we, like, were working with CCW, like, that was just, like, Dalton Zai's, like, philosophy with, like, independent wrestling is, like, they're going out, like, if they're going out to portray a character and they're looking for a certain reaction, we don't see a reason to, like, go against that.
Right.
Like, it doesn't really help anybody. Like, we'll be quieter for if there's something, like, that we don't really get behind.
Yeah.
But, like, with, like, Billy, like, when he's in Cape, we boo the crap out of him.
And we're because good friends
that's,
with Billy,
yeah, because that's the reaction
and,
that
and Brandon,
he's going for.
We
yes,
same
oh yeah, same
yeah.
with Brandon. And like, but now we get to cheer Brandon, so that's cool.
But there was something about when he came out and like, I don't know, the crowd liked it, so I played along.
I just think it was, you just turned traitor because you guys settled the whole Mr. 100 thing.
Yeah, that was, there for a while,
okay,
I was so mad when I saw that.
Initially, Mr. 100 was this gimmick I came up with. It was basically just a rip off of, like Jericho's 1,004 holds. Basically the whole idea was just like, I have 100 different ways that I can beat you. Have 100 different ways that
I
can
actually really like that.
His Mr. 100 is completely different from my Mr. 100.
Where you keep it 100 at
I keep
all times.
100. Everything I do is 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that from a trash bird.
Like so many things. Stuck bomb.
Yeah.
We have our own
lingo.
We do. So clearly you have a passion for wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that like something that you've always had? Like, what got you, like, what do you remember? Like the first thing that really kind of grabbed you wrestling wise?
It's weird because I know that I had seen wrestling beforehand because there's no other reason I would have been watching it. But my first actual like memory of wrestling was, you know, like, I was, like, really young when the Attitude Era was, like, going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, when the Undertaker and the Ministry, like, did the whole, like, the cross gimmick with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
The symbol.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol was not a cross, remember?
It was the symbol because they did not call it a cross.
I did not want to get in trouble for that.
But, yeah, that's, like, the first thing I really, like, remember about wrestling. And, like Stone Cold was and is still like the man to me. Like there's pictures of like me running around in like like being like 2-3 years old, like a blonde, like Ultimate Warrior mullet and like this, like, you know, the shirt where it's like Stone Cold and he has his arms like this.
Oh, are they the snakes?
Where they turn into the snakes and yeah. It says 100% rattlesnake on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's pictures of me floating around somewhere with me being just a toddler with that shirt on.
That's your favorite wrestler all time?
All time. Yeah.
I don't think we've ever heard Stone Cold.
Mm-mm.
That's a new one. Yeah.
Really? He's like the most like popular wrestler in the history of WWE.
I think it's one of those where like so far the people that we've asked, they've more of like the actual like technicians side. Yeah. So it's like we get a lot of Shawn Michaels and like Bret Hart.
I don't know. Okay. I am not a fan of Shawn Michaels at all. Yeah. I think and Ric Flair, like, I've talked extensively with friends about this, about, like, over, like, wrestlers that I, like, personally just, like, can't get into, that I think, like, for me are overrated, and, like, my top two are definitely Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
I have to ask, what are your thoughts on Hulk Hogan?
I cannot stand Hulk Hogan.
Yes! Blah.
Do you think it is because... Cause like we always give Shannon a hard time for Hulk Hogan because we didn't grow up with Hulk Hogan like Shannon did.
Yeah. So Hogan to me was not Hogan that was best. Hogan to me was 80s.
The Hulkster in the prime when that was what wrestling was.
When I was a kid and I thought wrestling was real.
Yeah. It's strange because I would watch like Raw like every Monday, but like, when like the WrestleMania like anthology box set came out, my dad bought it for me for Christmas. And I was like 8 or probably like 7 or 8 and I loved Hulk Hogan back then. Like I'd watch like the first like 10 WrestleManias and just be cheering Hogan the whole time. And now I was just like, man, a leg drop? what?
Well, so I was kind of going like, so do you think like Ric Flair, cause like Shawn Michaels kind of made his resurgence a little bit later. But do you think with like Flair, it's because you kind of missed his heyday in his prime where he was that kind of like revolutionary, like.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, I can't get into like wrestling, like before like the new generation era.
Like the 80s.
Of like WWF. I can't get into like 80s wrestling really. Like the mid 90s is where.
I mean, it is a lot different.
Started to be guys where I was like, okay, I can watch this and be entertained.
See, and that's the exact, like, I love to hear stuff like that because that just goes to the whole, cause like we've talked at length about the whole, people criticizing Ospreay, Ricochet, the dive thing.
I love Will. Will Ospreay is one of my favorite wrestlers. I think he's incredible.
And so it's just like not everyone is going to like every style of wrestling. Yeah, so to hear like, oh, there's this thing that's like widely regarded as really good and everyone should love it. And it's like, well, no, it's not my thing because I like this thing.
I
think it's a generational thing too. Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, I'm sure if I grew up like in a different time, then that would I'd probably love Ric Flair if I grew up in the 70s or 80s.
Right. That's always just interesting to hear just like what people were. And so were you more of a, you talked about watching Raw and like Stone Cold, were you a WWE guy or did you watch any WCW or?
No, my dad was like a huge WCW guy. Like,
really?
Like my dad, unfortunately, I love my dad, but, I feel like there are two types of people in the world and you have like smart, intelligent people. Okay, and then you have Goldberg fans. And my dad was a huge Goldberg fan back in the day. And I used to think Goldberg was cool too, like when he came back in like 2003 and like beat The Rock and stuff. But that's cause I had like no idea, like
you were still young enough.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Like I had no idea, like, oh man, Goldberg, like, he can't do a hold to save his life. Like, it was just like, oh, cool. He just obliterates people.
He just
people.
Spears people into pieces.
This is amazing.
So I assume you would have the same feelings about, say, like Ryback, guys like that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Ryback.
Not a fan of Ryback.
No.
Yes.
That's not the hill I'm going to die on. Don't worry. Ryback's not the guy.
So like you mentioned, you love Will Ospreay. Is there anything like going on right now that you get super excited about? Like ROH just had their pay-per-view last
Honestly,
night.
I can't get that excited about ROH anymore. I feel like it's basically what TNA was doing, like, in 2005. Like, that's what ROH feels like to me.
Oh, I love TNA in 2005.
I mean, I...
so did 20 other people.
Like, yeah, okay.
Dozens
so,
of you.
Okay, I like, old TNA, but, like, just for the X Division, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Really, the only wrestling I watch now, if there's a cool sounding Nakamura match on SmackDown, I'll watch SmackDown.
Did you see Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I was not a fan of the show at all.
Did you like the match itself? Or where Nakamura was?
The main event match was like the saving grace of that show. And I was so angry when Baron Corbin did the whole thing.
Were you there or did you watch it?
No, I watched it at home on the network.
Because we were there. Like, we had gotten tickets, so we were there live. And the entire night, Dalton is just like, and Shannon, like, Shannon brought
my
friend Lindsay.
Yeah, she came. Yeah. She's not a huge wrestling fan, but she, you know, goes with some of the stuff. And I kept telling her, I was like, wait till you see Shinsuke Nakamura. Wait till you see his entrance. It's
his
so
entrance
cool.
is, and Dalton's just like, we're so excited to actually see it live because we hadn't seen him wrestle before. And then, we were joking with Ken, and Ken was like, yeah, I don't know if I have the energy to sit through a Nakamura entrance. And we're like, well, you be quiet. This is not your time.
Only time we've ever said that to Ken.
Then
he just like, he comes out and then just like 5 seconds in,
like Baron Corbin.
Corbin's out there.
I was so mad.
Yeah, no,
I was on either side, like they were on either side of me and I could just feel
the fumes.
How like the Dalton was just sad. Like I could feel his shoulders slump.
Yeah.
And then Shannon like was the opposite. He just kind of tensed up because
I tense up a lot.
Yeah, the fan side of me was very, angry.
Oh yeah, no, it got the heel thing over, but I was pissed.
Yeah,
he was booing. He was booing Corbin.
I'm really glad Corbin won, though.
Oh yeah,
repping KC. Mm-hmm.
And Dalton has to vamoose. We mentioned that we're filming this with Cody here live at CCW Inferno. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's actually Saturday. Dalton's got to do some interviews.
Got to unlock the door, buddy.
You got to unlock the door. So they never figure out the lock button.
It is. It's tricky.
Yeah.
No, I got to see a live Shinsuke Nakamura entrance when NXT was like doing like traveling shows.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they came to Salina, Kansas, and I was like, "That's only like a 2-hour drive." So me and Phoenix drove to Salina to see NXT house show, and I got to see like Nakamura versus Tyler Breeze was the match that they were running.
Did they let that be a good? Well, it's NXT, so I'm assuming they actually gave. It wasn't just
All the matches got like a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, the best match of that night, and probably the best wrestling match I've ever seen, like in person.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've been to like WrestleMania before, mm-hmm. but like the best match I've seen in person was Austin Aries versus Ty Dillinger. At an NXT house show, they went for like 25 minutes and they just tore the house down.
That's awesome.
Which WrestleMania did you go to?
31 in San Francisco. Ooh,
yeah. Better than yours.
Wait, oh no, everyone's. I went to 27. And that was the.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was the Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler feud.
The coal miners.
Miz Cena.
Yeah.
But I did get to see that awesome Miz video package live.
How do you feel about the Miz?
Because
I hear a lot of different opinions on him. Some people think he's brilliant. Some people think
I think like as a character, he's like phenomenal. Mm. But he's good at what he does. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't satisfy like what I like in wrestling.
Right. Do you prefer kind of more of that strong style or style
I
style?
Just like
Midwest strong style, son.
Just more. I don't know. Like I. To me, like, guys, like, that I think are, like, really talented, but I just can't get into, like, guys like The Miz and, like, Zack Ryder, who just have, like, very, just, like, basic, like, they don't ever do, like,
it's the same
anything
style.
Besides, like, you know, like, the same, like, four moves every match,
mm-hmm.
and all of them are, like, very, like, I don't know, just feel like basic maneuvers, just... I don't know.
Do you think that's more them, or do you think that's kind of like what WWE has kind of limited them to? Like, oh, you do this thing that works, so you do this thing that works.
Probably a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't see Zach or Miz doing anything like insane. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like two out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy like Daniel Bryan.
At the same time, though, it's like, it's one of those things where you look at the, like, less so with The Miz, but more so with Zack Ryder, like, they're not necessarily given the opportunities to have a reason to really bust out something new and crazy.
I don't know. When Zack Ryder went for the 450, and then whoever, I don't remember who it was, but they just moved out of the way. Mm-hmm.
Was it Cena? I remember him doing the 450 on Cena, because that was a great match when they were doing the Open Invitational, the Cena, the US title.
The US title.
Yeah, that was a great series of matches there. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about John Cena?
I feel like my opinion of John Cena is really different from what, like, most, like, independent wrestlers' views of John Cena. I think John Cena is fantastic. He can put on a great match with damn near anyone.
I mean, we hear that quite a bit. It's pretty much the same. Like, the more people we talk to, the more it's just like, he's a better wrestler than people will ever give him credit for.
Yeah.
Just because of the position that he has.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, his character is boring, but like I said, I don't really care that much about wrestling characters.
He really is Superman. He's the boringest character, but he can do awesome stuff.
Well, so do you think that the Roman Reigns heat that he's getting, you know, Roman Reigns now, we love Roman Reigns. We think he's pretty good. A lot of the fans boo him just out of the building. Do you think that the rise in dislike for Roman Reigns is related to the appreciation of John Cena now, whereas a couple years ago, John Cena was Roman Reigns. As soon as his music hits, everyone boos. Now it's a little bit more 50-50. Do you think Roman Reigns has anything to do with that?
No. No.
Just independent of each other?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Roman heat has a lot more to do with a Daniel Bryan than it has to do with John Cena.
Poor Roman.
Rey Mysterio
got the Roman Reigns heat because he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
I think Roman's like actually like a pretty good wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like his match with AJ Styles at Extreme Rules and then the one, what is the show after Extreme Rules? Was it like Battleground?
I don't remember.
That's what we need Dalton here for.
Yeah.
He's better at these things than us. You're talking about the AJ series when, that was really good.
Yeah.
And his match with Strowman was really good. His match with Lesnar was really good. Reigns can go. Pretty
yeah. Well. Reigns can go.
It's just that he's not Daniel Bryan. So people aren't going to forgive him for that for a while.
The main reason I boo Roman Reigns is because he's where I want to see other people.
Who do you want to see there?
As far as like the Raw side goes.
Yeah, like who are you a fan of? Who would you want to see in the main event?
See, for Raw, Finn Balor is my favorite guy. Been following him since he was Prince Devitt.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite, like, all-time wrestlers. So I'd love to see Finn Balor get the Universal Championship again.
Yeah.
But matter of time. I think we were
I was having just like all sorts of mental gymnastics, like fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Before this Fatal 5-Way they just did, like to get him as number one contender. It got real bad.
Yeah.
It got like Russo-esque, but it ends with Balor winning the Universal Championship.
Okay. I did like this weird fantasy booking of, God, what was it? So my friend, Nick, the one I was talking about earlier, who I let clothesline me in a mosh pit.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, book a trios tournament, like 16 trios.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And then I was like, so like my finals were like OI4K versus British Strong Style.
Mm-hmm.
And, had British Strong Style go over. And I was like, but plot twist, the team that wins actually just faces Triple H, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. And then I made up this whole ridiculous, like, scenario that involved necromancers, zombified ECW locker room, Andre the Giant being...
All of them are dead.
Andre the Giant being brought back to life.
He is dead.
And an earthquake caused by Andre's body hitting the ground that destroyed all of Japan.
So what
That's 12-ounce mouse is what did that.
I was going to say, so what you're saying is you're a big fan of Lucha Underground.
I am.
Chikara does some. Yeah, they do time. They
did
travel.
They did legit time travel. Is there somewhere that you particularly like? What are your like long term goals? Like, where do you want to like ideally end up? Is it, you know, NXT, WWE,
New Japan? Yeah,
we get that a lot.
I am a huge New Japan fan.
But would you accept an offer? Let's say, you know, you're on the radar and Anthem says, hey, we want you to work with us on Impact. Is that something you'd be interested in, or would you just say no?
It would depend on
the offer.
Not necessarily. It would depend on what I've already done so far. Like, if I hadn't been to Japan yet, I'd probably hold off on that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to TNA.
Take that, TNA. Zach Price, who just had to leave earlier, he had a suggestion for you that I want to pass along because I thought it was funny. You still have the gold boot?
I have one, yes.
You wear that, you call yourself the Golden One.
The Golden One? The golden
Cody
one.
Wilson.
I might be able to make that work.
So I had this crazy idea that I never pitched to you because I'm like, all right, this is even before we did commentary for CCW or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just the more I watch you wrestle and the more because I keep up with you on Facebook. You and I have very similar views on things. So I won't get into it. But I thought, put that guy in an anti-establishment angle. Let's call ourselves the Children of the Revolution. I was listening to the Moulin Rouge soundtrack. Don't ask.
I mean, that doesn't require an explanation. It's awesome.
It's awesome. But I thought there, and then just have Cody come out and just trash talk every redneck, Republican, just, you know, everything. And let's just paint the town red. And then I woke up and I was like,
no, you paint the town blue.
Yes, paint the town blue. I thought, no one must ever know of this, that I dream of Cody Wilson.
But here we are.
It came out, yeah.
I'm guessing we're about to wrap up because we're...
We've got about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
Well, we can, the one thing that I always want to ask everybody is, what is your favorite thing, favorite match that you've had so far? So far, everyone we've asked this, it was a hard process to...
I don't know.
I also feel bad because I keep looking over at Shannon, but it's only because there's a mirror right behind you. And I don't like seeing me, and I'm just like, no, let's not do that.
I don't know. I feel like it would probably be a match that I've had here, but I don't know. Like, I feel like if some stuff was different in my match with Tattoo, that would probably be my favorite one, but I also... goofed on a couple of things in that match.
That's a good match, though. That was one of my favorite matches on that card.
I don't know. Like, I was watching video, and I was having trouble, like, hearing like what he was saying. And there was a part where I was supposed to, like, you know, he was in the buckle, and I was supposed to run in and eat a boot. And then he's going to do, like, the whole kick that, like, Christian used to do, where, like, you know, like, his body's, like, between the ropes.
He flips around.
Okay, so I couldn't hear, and so I just kind of, like, briskly walked / slow jogged into the corner. And just, like, and then when the kick came, like, the flip over the rope kick came, didn't even hit me, and then I took, like, this really slow, like, Mark Henry bump.
So what do you do when that something like that happens? Like, what goes through your mind? Do you just immediately jump back on the horse, or do you take a moment to go, oh, I effed up?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Like, there was another spot, because I thought he was going to reverse the move that I was doing, just doing like a reverse DDT, and I figured he was gonna, like, you know, like, bring his knee up and, like, knee me in the face or something. And then, so I ended up standing there for like a solid like 5 or 6 seconds before just like holding him like this before like we dropped, and I was just like, ah, damn it.
Do you guys don't prepare these before? Do you just call them on the fly?
No. I usually have at least like a rough outline of what we're doing. I guess probably my match with Phoenix here is my favorite match that I've had here. But me and him actually had a way better match at in Kansas City like a couple of months after that. So that'd probably be my favorite match. Got to put over Phoenix on his birthday, give him his first singles win in that company. So it was a good deal.
We love Phoenix. Phoenix is just the nicest guy in the world. Yeah.
Did you guys train together?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because you guys, like, we could kind of tell, like, even before getting to know you guys, like, there was like you, Phoenix, and Hollis, all three just kind of meshed very well. And really, we'd only seen you two interact, but that it felt very, like, you guys felt familiar.
Yeah.
Like you had really good chemistry together.
Yeah. I've worked, Hollis and Phoenix a lot just from training with them. Mm-hmm. So
have you ever worked with Ace Hawkins?
Other
than the tag match you guys did?
No.
Really bummed out that we don't get to see that match tonight.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only grudge match on the card that actually felt like a grudge match.
For here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not super bummed about it not happening tonight just because it gives me more time to flush out everything that I want to do.
Okay.
So you're saying the CCW crowd hasn't seen everything you were capable of
yet? No. Not at all. Not at all.
This makes me more bummed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we talk about, on Nerd Up, when we talk about, like, video games getting delayed. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I mean, I'd rather them fix the game than have it get rushed out. So, I mean,
you mean like Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Have you played it?
I love that game, but God, do I hate that game.
Yeah. I've seen Tanner play it, and watching him play it, I my first thought was, well, this looks really cool. I want to play this.
Yeah.
And then the more he played it, I was like,
no, the game itself, like the gameplay, I think is really fun, and it's a game that, like, so I haven't been able to work, like, because of my ankle, and so I've just been sitting at home, and so I've played Friday the 13th for, like, 12 hours, like, nonstop a couple nights ago.
Have you ever got to be Jason?
Yeah, I'm really, really, really good as Jason, and I suck as a counselor.
Which, do you go random, or which Jason do you usually pick? What's your favorite Jason?
Well, I'm an achievement hunter when I play video games.
I'm so sorry. So just the other day, I was listening to Kinda Funny Games have a podcast, and they were talking about impossible achievements. Apparently, there are two achievements. It's play 1,000 matches as Jason,
and then play
1,000 matches as counselors. And then, yeah, you have to, like, kill a thousand counselors as Jason.
It's kill 1,313 counselors.
It's the 1313 counselors. Yes. And it's like, yeah, if you get a perfect game, it's like 178 perfect games.
Yes.
And you don't get to pick if you play as Jason or a counselor. It's given to you randomly.
Yeah.
So that's
ridiculous.
So when you say you're an achievement hunter, that's like, oh no.
You better break some more bones.
Thoughts and prayers.
You're gonna need some more time.
No, the way my sleep schedule works, I get to play that game a lot.
I don't sleep. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I did not sleep last night. I slept for maybe an hour and a half on the way here, and that is all the sleep I've gotten.
And unfortunately, there's no Jason Vaughn matches tonight, so you can't doze off a little bit.
Low blow.
He's going to get me one of these days. I like Jason Vaughn. I have nothing against Jason Vaughn. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he has a cute dog.
I've never seen his dog.
He has...
You talking about JD?
No.
No!
That's a joke! I love JD so much.
He's not going to do the show anymore.
No, JD, please. I love you, JD.
No, Jason has this adorable pit bull puppy.
Oh.
I love pit bulls. They're like my favorite kind of dog. And at the last show.
I'm fine. It's just a little blood. I'm fine.
At the last show, we got to play with it. So.
It's just a little phone. It's fine. It's
not phone.
I was happy about that.
We're actually out of time anyway. So
yeah.
You need to start doing some interviews, and I gotta go bleed.
We gotta, Shane's gonna take care of this nosebleed that's, sprung upon him.
It's like JD. He has a voodoo doll.
Him and Vaughn are plotting.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're gonna get brought back together.
I'm gonna let you wrap this up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna step out and bleed.
Well, thank you so much, Cody, for coming.
Thanks, Cody.
This was awesome.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. This is my first time doing something like this, so.
I'm gonna turn the mic off, Cody.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have you back.
Yeah.
Again soon. Because just this kind of thing is something I've wanted to do with just everybody we've met so far. So, but to close this out, thank you for listening to PW Presents. If you like this, please go to our patreon.com/podzilla1985. Also on facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. We get more interactive as we go. Do you have anything that you want to plug before we close out?
If you come to these Cape Championship Wrestling shows, buy a The Cody Wilson Midwest Strong Style shirt, please.
They are available. Well, thank you again, and we will see everybody soon. Have a good night.